Welcome to the X29 Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Metters. Throughout the month of July here on the X29 Podcast, we're going to be featuring messages and talks that were given at last year's 2020 virtual conference, Remain Faithful. And today's message comes from Rudy Rubio. Rudy is the pastor, planter of the Reformed Church of LA. So I hope you enjoy this message from Rudy. And stay tuned to your email inboxes and this podcast for more information about our upcoming conferences happening across the nation this fall with the theme of mission and moxie. So I hope to see you there. It's going to be a great time to gather together and worship together and be reignited and recommitted again to our mission of planting churches. So let's listen to this great message from Pastor Rudy.
Blessings to all of our X29 friends and familia. My name is Rudy Rubio. I am pastor, church planner at the Reformed Church of Los Angeles here in the city of Linwood. If you've not heard of Linwood, we are sandwiched right between Compton and Watts here in Southern California. It was our desire 3 years ago to plant a healthy, confessionally Reformed church that would in turn plant other healthy, confessionally Reformed churches in the hood. And by the grace of God, we're on that journey now, getting ready to plant Reformed Church of Los Angeles, Wilmington. I was so hoping to hang out with you this year, but we can all see that the Lord had different plans. In fact, I think 2020 will go down in history as probably one of the worst years ever on multiple fronts. And it's definitely been one of the hardest for myself and for my life. And I've had a rough life. Like, I've been shot 7 times and stabbed 18 times and done over 12 years in prison. But God, our beautiful, wonderful, holy and sovereign God had other plans. He was able to take all the hurt and pain that I suffered, as well as that which I inflicted upon others, and he redeemed it all for his glory. So I am confident that with all that's been happening, all this too will be redeemed for his glory. I mean, if we stop and just look around at all that's happening in our own families, in our churches, in our communities, we've all been MacGyvering our way through the pandemic, as well as all the other things that have been happening. In LA, the year got off to a bad start when Kobe died. The pandemic for COVID-19 and stay-at-home order, things just got from bad to worse very, very quickly. And most recently, we've been plagued with wildland fires. We've been plagued with riots and people protesting in response to police shootings. And we just had 2 Compton sheriff deputies shot in the head while sitting unprovoked in their patrol vehicles. This is the world that we live in today. Times can be extremely discouraging when we have professing believers arguing about politics publicly. Like, one side represents a donkey and the other side represents the elephant, but in reality, both of these put together can't stand against the lion and the lamb. Amen? So fam, what do we do when we're discouraged? How are we to remain faithful in the midst of all the drama? This is what I've been tasked with today. And to be honest, I think I've got it easier than all my other co-speakers today. I've been tasked with this, to remain faithful when discouraged. And I think I've got the easiest task because we have example after example of biblical personalities that were faithful in the midst of discouragement. But let me give you the one greatest example of all. Let me give it to you up front. In the Gospel of St. Matthew in chapter 26, the Lord Jesus is in Gethsemane, and he tells Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee this. He tells them to keep point for him because he's going to go away alone to pray. And we read that he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Christ himself said this. He said, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." And in his prayer to the Father, he says this, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Fam, Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was about to suffer, and he was deeply troubled. He was discouraged, but he remained faithful until the end. He remained obedient even to death on a cross. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, that he would demonstrate his love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that was a great place to say amen, by the way. But where I'd like to spend my time with you today is in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians. But let me set that up for you really quick. And I want to quote my homie, my brother, and our fellow X29, brother Tony Marita. In his commentary on Galatians, he says this about the sixth chapter. He says that it's about how life in the Spirit should lead Christians to live out their faith in biblical community. It's about how life in the Spirit should lead Christians to live out their faith in biblical community. So as we read this passage together, please chew on how it is that your life in the Spirit should lead you as a pastor to live it out in biblical community. But maybe you're an elder or a deacon. It could be that you're a worship leader, or you could think, I'm just an usher. I don't matter. Yes, you do matter. Every single person in the body of Christ matters. Ushers, you are the very first impression when you smile and shake somebody's hand at Sunday service. So what we're about to read is for every single Christian. We are all called to this. Even though this letter was written to the church in Galatia, it is still very pertinent and applicable to us today. They're not suggestions, but clear God-breathed commands to professing followers of Jesus, which is you and myself. And the Word of God reads as follows. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. People of God, this is the Word of God. Join me in a word of prayer. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we love you, Lord, and we bless you, and we want to be more like you. We want to love like you do. We want to be obedient as Christ was. And Lord, although you were deeply sorrowful and troubled, you remained faithful. You did not throw in the towel. You did not tap out. And you continue your journey up a hill carrying a cross and ultimately giving your very own life. That we, for those of us who have placed their trust in you alone for our salvation, would in fact be saved. Triune God, you didn't give up on us, not even when we gave up on ourselves. Be with us now in this time and encourage us through your word on how to remain faithful when we're discouraged. Challenge us to be mindful and to remain faithful when we're discouraged. Remind us that in our weaknesses, we might learn to lean into you more and more. And all of God's people said, amen. So a question is, who needed to hear that passage besides myself? Who has felt weary of doing good in these last 7 or 8 months? Who's felt like giving up? I think it's safe to say that we all have at some point in time. Well, not everyone, that's for sure. Let me tell you why. I can remember a few months ago talking to a pastor friend, and I was hoping to pick his brain and gain some wisdom on how to approach this whole thing and this whole situation with the stay-at-home order and the COVID-19 pandemic. You see, we were just a 2.5-year-old church plant in the hood with little resources, in the process of planting again. And this brother tells me how he was actually embracing this sabbatical. And I was like, wait, what sabbatical? I'm like, did he just say sabbatical? Like, my mind was blown. Here I was trying to figure out, going crazy to provide and doing all that we could for our family, for our community, for people that had lost jobs, folks that don't have legal status, that don't qualify for a government stimulus, that don't qualify for unemployment, that don't qualify for welfare. We had to continue to meet the needs of these people in our church and our community. We were busy trying to figure out how to pour into our leaders and care for ourselves and our own families. How to help families that had no sitter or groceries. Or how do we get groceries to the elderly who are more susceptible to getting sick? We used iPhones for live streaming, but we needed better mics. We needed stronger Wi-Fi, and we needed newer cameras for pre-recorded sermons and new software for editing pre-recorded sermons. And on top of that, just addressing the needs that existed in our own community. How could we tap in and offer help? So when I heard this brother say sabbatical, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I get it. You see, this brother wasn't a church planner. He didn't understand what it was to be hungry. He didn't know what it was to start from scratch, like zero, like nothing. He inherited his church, inherited his building, and he had a fat bank account with a full staff. Super mature leadership. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on him or anybody else who has made it. But you know what? He did teach me something that day. He taught me a much more valuable lesson than what I'd hoped for. And you know what that was? That I needed to stay hungry. Hungry and passionate for the ministry that the Lord Jesus has called me to. To stay hungry to help teach other people about the resurrected Savior. To stay hungry that we'd be on fire for Jesus and that everybody would want to know what kind of fuel we were on. Because the Lord Jesus deserves nothing less. So how do we stay hungry? How do we remain faithful to our calling even when we're discouraged? An early church father from Africa said this regarding verse 9. He said, many begin, many in a way persevere, yet later they give up, either tired or led astray. And then he says that Paul justly warns them that they should not grow weary in any way, lest by their weariness they leave off what they began when they began to do well. Can you imagine a world where Christ did not make it to the cross? Can you imagine a world where the triune God did not make a way for his people to be saved? That's not bueno, right? But praise God for his never-ending mercy and love of his people that in eternity past, he thought of us and he cared. Now, the Apostle Paul said in verse 10 that as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those of the household of faith. Do good to all people. Care for all people, especially to those of the household of faith, those in your Christ-confessing covenant community. Now, if Paul had said that today, what would that look like for you in your present ministry? No matter what role you serve at your church, if Paul said, hey, Acts 29, family, kind of weird because we all know that Acts finished in chapter 28, but that's a whole other conversation. But if Paul had asked us that question, what would it look like for you? That as you have opportunity to do good to everyone, especially your church fam, how would you do it? Let me share with you what that looked like for us here at the Reformed Church of Los Angeles. The first thing is that we didn't let our circumstances determine our generosity. We didn't expect an immediate return. We stayed the course. And we didn't limit whom we did good to. Now, again, these are things that we did at the Reformed Church of Los Angeles when we were discouraged. By no means are we experts on the subject at all. But when we felt like the odds were stacked against us, we tried to remain faithful to our calling. We ministered to folks in Linwood, Compton, and Watts. And I know that we don't have the same type of demographic. I know we don't minister to the same context, but I do hope that we can learn from each other. Amen? Let's do this. So the first thing is that we didn't let our circumstances determine our generosity. So one of the first things that happened to us fresh out of the COVID gate was that we lost a ton of money. But that didn't stop us from being generous to people in our community that needed help. The Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So why would we allow this to hinder our generosity to others that needed something more than we did? In Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, Christ himself gave us a model to follow when he pointed out a poor widow who only put in one penny into the offering box. And he told his disciples that she'd put in more than others because she gave from the little that she had to live on, while others gave out of their abundance. So what did we do when we lost money? We gave out money, and we gave out a lot of it. We gave out at least half of the amount that we had lost. Now, that may sound crazy, but instead of saving money and holding on to it like a pit bull to a pork chop, we became generous, and we gave because that is what the Word of God instructs us to. But I don't want you all to think that generosity is just money. I don't want you to think that generosity equates to only money. When we lost money, we quickly found out that many other people in our community also lost money because they lost jobs. They lost cars. Remember, we're in Southern California, which means our community is approximately 90% Latino, the majority Mexican American. And like I said earlier, not everybody has legal status. That's just a reality. I mentioned that not everybody here is qualified or can receive any type of government aid. So what does a church do when things like that happen? What it's always done. We do what the Lord Jesus requires of us, to do justice, loving kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. Now, we might have not had much money, but man, our folks sure made up for that in serving. The Apostle Paul said, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone. Now, let me tell you, opportunity isn't like Chicken Little. It's not going to fall from the sky and land on your head. The truth is, you don't have to look too hard to find opportunities to serve. It turned out that the local school district no longer could host their weekly food distribution. They needed help, so we stepped in with another church and we tried to get their food distribution going. We had over 15 volunteers serving 40 families at the beginning and ended up with 250 families on a weekly basis. And we did this for about 4 months. And we didn't expect anything in return. That's the second thing. We didn't expect anything in return. We stayed the course no matter what was happening. The opportunity we had to partner with the school district was a great way for us to further connect with our community. We didn't want anything from them. We just wanted to serve. And in doing so, they got to know us more, that they could trust us more, because if they could trust us, then they could trust our message. We served the city of Linwood, like I said, for about 4 months. Friendships began, others were strengthened, and we let the love of Christ shine through everything that we did, as it should, right? Especially since 2 Thessalonians 3:13 repeats what we've said today, to not grow weary in doing good. And Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Friends, these are clear instructions, but they never tell us when we should expect anything in return or anything at all, right? We do them not to get saved, but because in fact we are saved and because the Bible tells us over and over. I'll tell you one thing though, it didn't take long for us to be on the flip side of that, when we actually needed help in return. You see, we could only do live stream and pre-recorded sermons and services for so long before the people of God got tired and had to come together for corporate worship, to lift holy hands and partake of the Lord's Supper. So here's where the hungry church planting mentality comes into play. We don't own our own building, and the government was not allowing us to meet indoors. So the hustler mentality came out, and we took it to the old, we took it old school, and we started doing drive-in services. Where did we do this? At the local middle school. Our friends from the school district came through for us as we had come through for them. When we were feeling discouraged from all the violence in which Compton deputies got shot, our friends at the school district opened up a school so that we can do a prayer walk from Linwood and Compton and back, and they even gave us a public safety officer to watch our cars while we did that. But the dopest thing is to see new people coming to church, coming to faith and wanting to know more about this Jesus that we talk so much about. We served anyone, and we didn't put limits on whom we helped. And my third point is that we don't limit who we do good to. I bring us back to Galatians 6:10, where Paul says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially those who are in the household of faith. One thing I need to mention before I close is this. Up until now, you've been hearing about this talk or this scripture that's for your benefit alone, meaning that it was exclusively to help you remain faithful when you're discouraged. But we know that the world doesn't revolve around us. So although this message is definitely for you, it is also for you on the flip side, by reminding us that in our remaining faithful when we're discouraged, we will actually be encouraging others through our faithfulness. Amen? Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage each other daily. I told you all a bit of my story and how crazy my life was before Christ drew me in and saved me. For a long time as a new Christian, I never quite understood why God would allow me to make so many bonehead decisions. And then I encountered the doctrines of grace. Blew my mind. God is sovereign, which means that he really did know what I was going to do. He really did know what I was going to say, and he still let me do it. Now, why in the world would God allow me to have done some of the things that I did? And then I read 2 Corinthians 1:3-5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. It started to make sense. So I sold dope. I did dope. I beat folks up. I got beat up. I went to jail, was hurt, as well as hurting others. And now that I'm saved, guess who God is using to help folks that have sold dope, that have done dope, that have been beat up and beat up other folks, and folks who went to jail and hurt other people. Fam, we serve the God of reconciliation. May we too be agents of reconciliation. When we're discouraged, let us be mindful that God didn't save us to sit on the sidelines. There is no such thing as a sideline Christian. We should all have our hands raised saying, put me in, coach, I'm ready. Knowing that there are other people that will be blessed by our good works. Martin Luther famously said this, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. So brothers and sisters, how do we remain faithful when discouraged? I think the answer is simple. Too simple that we may in fact not want to try it, or we simply overlook it. Here's how we can apply this to each and every single one of our ministries. Are you ready? Here it goes. Never forget that the Lord Jesus, he was also discouraged, but he didn't throw in his towel on the way to the cross. He didn't tap out when that cross that he was carrying became too heavy for him to carry on his own. The Lord Jesus knew exactly what awaited him at the top of that hill, and that the folks he'd be dying for would want nothing to do with him, that the folks would lie about him, and that folks would forget about what he's done. Yet he kept on. So friends, when you're discouraged, remember that Christ was faithful to us even when he was discouraged. And remind yourself of the gospel. Remember that Christ came into the very world that he created. He took on flesh and lived the perfect life that you and I never could, and died a death that was meant for us, so that if any of us would believe in him, we would in fact be saved. Because his death paid for our debts, our crimes committed against the holy God. If we believe in that, we'd be saved. Would you believe? Would you stay hungry? Would you stay hungry for the Lord and doing the work that you have been called to by him? I close encouraging you with Hebrews 14, that we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this conference and all the people that are tuning in from different parts of the world and the country. I pray, Lord, that they would be encouraged, that they would continue to remain faithful to you and their calling, even when we're discouraged, by simply looking at the cross. In Christ's name we pray, amen.